Welcome to Season 17 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go! Welcome back. Season 17, moving right along. I hope you're having a great day. I'm really excited for you to hear this featured conversation with my friend Mario McCracken. I just fell in love with it. There were just so many things about this conversation that, I mean, I took notes on. And anytime that happens, I know it's going to add a lot of value to you. And I get excited. I get excited about every episode. But things like this and stories like Mario tells, and I feel like he's a great man. And I'm super excited for you to learn from him and more about his story. He is the revenue leader for a company called Move Medical on the West Coast, and he also writes a lot. He's a professional development junkie. He's just become a great voice, not only in the sales world, but in the professional development world. So we touch on some great topics. I get going right out of the gate with maybe one of my favorite 5, 6, 7 minute segments of any show, which is, you know, why is confidence so important, and what's the difference in confidence and self-esteem? So we really get going right out of the gate. So I'm not going to hold you back. There's tons of great thoughts, tons of great lessons in this episode. So without further ado, here's my interesting conversation with my friend, Mario McCracken.
Well, Mario, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, John. Really honored to be on the show.
You've also written a lot about, Mario, about this idea of confidence and self-esteem. And how it really manifests in everything that we do. Why is confidence so important, number one? Let's start there. Why is confidence so important in leadership and sales and anything?
So confidence is what allows you to take action because you believe that your abilities and the actions you take will have a positive result or the desired outcome. So confidence is a belief in ability. And that's really important because you don't get anything done. Nothing gets accomplished unless you take action. And so it's more of a I can or I can do this. Whereas self-esteem is about worthiness. It's I am. It's who you are as a person. So you could have really high self-esteem and, you know, I am valuable. I'm worth it. But have no confidence in your abilities to do what you're required to do. And the reverse could be true. You could have super high confidence in your abilities. Like, you know, you could write a really, really good book, or you know, you could solve all these really, really hard engineering problems. But at the end of the day, you go home and you still think you're worthless. You still don't understand the value that you bring to other people because you have low self-esteem. So helping and encouraging people and giving people the ability to act out with confidence and to know their worth, they're both super important, and often they get confused that, oh, he must have high self-esteem because he's confident, or she doesn't look very, very like she has much high self-esteem because she doesn't act very confidently, when they're related, but they're not causal with each other. And so self-esteem and confidence are both very, very important to becoming who you're supposed to become. But as a leader, your job is to develop those in the people that you are supposed to serve.
Well, now we're going deep, Mario. I can't hold back any longer. Where do these two things come from? And can they be developed?
Yes, they can be developed. If you're religious, there's lots of belief surrounding, and lots of people, maybe if you're not religious per se, that you don't believe in a God or a heavenly father, but you believe in a superior source or a source of truth, or even if you just believe that there's good in all people, you know that your self-worth is not determined by what others think about you, and your self-worth is not determined by the material possessions you have, even though that's how lots of our brains and society has programmed us to believe over time, over the past few hundred years, has been that our worth is based on what other people think about us, not what is an ultimate source of truth. And the ultimate source of truth is every human is valuable. Every human is worthwhile. Every human has intrinsic value. And that never changes based on if somebody approves of you or not. But the problem is it's hard to get to that approval level without somebody helping you along the way and telling you and believing in you. And so as a leader, we can help people believe in that. So the source of self-esteem is a source that's already there. It's already in existence. You just have to help bring it out. Confidence just comes by doing, though. you have to let go of your negative thoughts and just take action. And the more you take action, the more skills you'll build. You'll have curiosity to solve your, to develop more. And it's a results driven effort. The more you do something and the more you get positive feedback because that action was successful one time, the more you have that ability to do it again and again. And that's why in sports, you practice your shot over and over again. You do the same thing over and over again until you're strong enough to move to the next level. And then you can move to the next level after that. And that's, confidence comes from doing, but self-esteem is much more internal, even though it's driven by external factors for sure.
And then the role of an external leader or someone else in the development of those two things. You touched on it briefly, but I don't think it's something we've covered a lot, which is how do you help somebody that's on your team or that you're, let's just go with that example right now. You know, you have someone that has self-esteem. They know they're worth it. They know they're a worthy person, but they don't have confidence in the job or confidence in their skills to sell, let's say, as an example. They might know how to, you know, ask a good diagnostic question on a sales call, but when they get on it, that, you know, they freeze. You know, they don't ask it the same way, or they how do you as a leader help build that confidence in somebody else?
So yeah, that's a very good question. That's something that always, it's a big fine line. And I think you learn about it a lot in parenting as well, but it comes from the difference between encouragement and praise, I think. Praise is something that people feed off of and they love, but it doesn't increase anybody's confidence. While encouragement, I think, really helps people find the courage they need to do what they need to do. So courage is the ability to act, or the willingness to act, at least, in the face of fear, grief, or pain. And so all emotions that stop us from taking action can be kind of put under one of those three emotions of either fear, grief, or pain. And that could be a mental pain, physical pain, or fear of the outcome because you don't know what's going to happen. But if you have the courage to act in spite of those emotions, then you can do whatever you need to do. And when somebody feels encouraged, or they're given courage, and then that leader is the one giving them that encouragement, that's the number one way you can help them develop that courage. And so there's lots of ways to encourage people. You can talk about, hey, I know this is going to be hard, yet I believe you can do it. Just telling someone you believe in, it's not praise, but it's just stating a fact. Or saying, hey, based on all the work that you've done, all the preparation you've done, you've worked really hard, this call is going to be successful. That's encouraging, right? Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways to encourage people. But I think giving people courage is the number one thing a leader needs to do.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm telling you, it's amazing. I hadn't even the thought of giving praise versus encouragement and really giving someone the courage that they need. It's funny. I've always thought that encouragement, you really had to believe in someone before you could truly encourage them. Meaning that, you know, if I don't actually know that the 6-year-old can score, I've never seen him do it, I've seen him in practice, it's not very good, it's difficult to really feel in your core that he can do it. But there is something about those leaders that can see right past believing in someone and still being able to provide that to someone that is so differentiated. I mean, and I think it's something that can be developed, and it's something that people can get better at. But just thinking of it from that way, Mario, about giving people courage and providing it in that way, I've seen you do the work and you're going to do great. I mean, just think about walking to the first tee or stepping in a batter's box with your coach just saying that to you. I mean, it's like, you might even walk up there with a little bit of a swagger.
Exactly. Yeah. We live up to the labels that are prescribed to us, right? And so, of course, we can give ourselves labels, internal labels, but the external ones are very important. So I kind of have a little story about that. When I was a kid, I guess my whole mission in life was to help people not be sad and to create peace in the home. So we had 6 kids. My mom's single mom. She raised all 6 of us by herself. She always called me her little peacemaker, right? And so I felt ever since I was a kid, my job was to go make peace at school, anywhere I was. My job was to stop people from fighting. But then when I was maybe 15 or 16, she told me a story of how from age 3 until 6, I was the worst kid in the family. I was the one causing the most fights. I was being the worst. And so she said she had to figure out a way to help me become who she saw in me, who I really was. So she started calling me her peacemaker. And so I lived up to that label. From age 6 on, I lived up to that label.
What a great story. Let's transition to the workplace, Mario. You wear a lot of hats, which a lot of people that listen to this show tend to wear a lot of hats at work. What have you learned about leading people or helping lead a small company in today's complex world? What's been the hardest thing that you've come across as you take what you write about and what you share with others to the workplace every single day?
I think it was being, I guess the pride is that you think you're humble when you're not. And that's obviously the sign of pride in and of itself. It's the idea that I wasn't hired because I have good ideas. I wasn't hired because I'm the best. I was hired because I have the potential to help bring about the execution of good ideas. And as a leader, your job is to help everybody come up with the best solutions and then execute those solutions. And management is the execution side, leadership is the idea side, and for everybody to thrive together. And that really just comes down to caring about the final person and the final result enough to make it happen the right way. And anytime you let your ego get in the way, everything else can get flustered and you never get the best solution. And everybody, it's a work in progress, especially for me, to not let my ego get in the way of the overall outcome. And I think it's something I'm trying to learn every day. But as a leader, I feel that's the most important thing you can do, is if you care enough about the result and the person, then everything else kind of takes care of itself eventually.
Which one do you think most leaders care about more out of those two? Care about people or care about results?
Well, they care about the result. So this is maybe going to sound cynical, but most people in leadership positions, not necessarily leaders, right, that I've come across in the corporate world, care about the results so far as it helps their career or paycheck.
Without the concern for the people that help produce it, or they care about them if,
as the number one priority.
I
might care for the people too.
Yeah, I was in a conversation just yesterday, and it was a consultant, really, really brilliant woman, and it just couldn't have been a better 2 hours. She said one thing that really stood out to me, and she said, at the end of the day, the businesses are just in it to make money. And I let it go for a while, and I get businesses need to make money to, the results are absolutely important. Don't get me wrong. We don't have jobs if results don't happen. But, I think business is about more than that. And being in a small company, yeah, and hearing you talk about caring for people, the results are absolutely required. But I just don't believe business is just about making money. We spend too much time there if it was just for money. And I'm just curious to get your thoughts about that.
No, you're 100% right. And I agree wholeheartedly that business is, in the end, why businesses work is because it's more than money. Because if it was just for money, most of these businesses would be failing. Because people wouldn't sacrifice what they do, but we need community. We need people. We need encouragement. We need all these things. We need to have a purpose. And lots of people find their purpose through work. And there's lots of ways to find purpose and to find meaning in life. But because we find purpose through work, it's the responsibility of leaders to help other people create and find their purpose and to help them feel fulfilled as much as they can outside of what they do at home, right? So, yes, of course, we have to make money and we have to do a good job and be as profitable as possible. But at the same time, it's the people that make that happen. And so you need to have a double focus if you're going to be able to make that happen the right way and feel good about yourself long term. And just the world's a better place when people like who they are and like what they're doing.
Yeah, and there was something that, I think that word, people
leaders caring about people. And I think I was watching a video on Twitter last night, and it was Wells Fargo just laid off, or is going to lay off 27,000 people, I guess, in the next couple years. And the year before, their CEO was sitting in front of the Senate, and when they were going over their plan, Elizabeth Warren, who's a senator, really just dominated their CEO by saying, "I guarantee you, based on the numbers that I'm reading, you're going to lay off at least 20,000 people to make these budget cuts work, to be profitable." And he kind of scoffed at the idea, Mario. And then, you know, 1 year later, they're laying off 27,000 people for the impact of the bottom line. Now, business, the automation, and I get it. But I tell that story not to knock Wells Fargo or not for them to be profitable, but more about, you know, his words were, "We care about our people more than anybody." And I think those words, caring about people, are so easy to say. I think they're much more difficult to live out. So how does a leader not just say, "I care about my people," but how do they go live it out?
It takes a lot of self-reflection. So, of course, actions, proof is in your actions, right? Proof is in the pudding. But the only way your actions are going to match those words is if you take a lot of self-reflection and ask yourself, what is my intent? How am I seeing this person? And I guess the best resource that I've found for learning how to care with people better is a book called Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute. And the book just outlines how it's either you're seeing people as people and as humans, and their needs are equal to your needs, not more than or not less than, but equal to your needs, or you're seeing them as objects. So there's only two ways to see people: as an object or as a person. And if you see them as a person, then you use them like a person, you treat them like a person. But if you see them as an object, you use them as an object, as a means to an end. And that's, I guess, the biggest difference is you have to constantly reflect on your actions and your thoughts toward that person of, how do I see them? Am I seeing them as a person whose needs, wants, desires are equal to mine, no matter the position or role they have?
Or am I seeing them as a vehicle to get where I'm trying to go? It is.
And most employees are vehicles.
I get it. And, well, they're not vehicles. They're treated like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's really interesting. And I love the analogy, and I'm very familiar with the book. And sometimes, I really believe people need to be reminded more than they need to be taught, Mario. And something as simple as thinking about your people as people versus objects is something that I think every leader listening can ask themselves that question. How do you think of your people? I mean, it's easy to say you think of them as people, but what do your actions say that you think them to be? And I think that's a deep question, exactly, man. I think it takes some real reflection. I think it takes some, I mean, much like you're suggesting. I mean, I'm even sitting here thinking about your words right then, Mario. And I'm thinking about my day and how have I treated my people today?
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? What's that?
Exactly.
It's one of those things. I want
to
make a challenge to our audience right now. It's like, I want you to really dig in deep tonight, or if you're driving to work right now, wherever you are, I want you to dig in deep and say, are my people to me? Are they equals? Am I thinking of their needs, or are they objects? And am I treating them like that? And I want you to reflect on that really hard and deep. And be honest, because it is a tough question and it could change daily, which I love that point. You're one of six growing up. You're now a father of four, 9 months to 9 years old. And one of my favorite questions to ask is, what's harder, leading at home or leading at work?
Oh, at home for sure. Because at work, people respect what you do.
That's funny.
No, it's a lot more fun at home for sure. But at the same time, when you raising children, who have different personalities, who have the mind of their own, who don't just do everything you say, is for me, it's been a much harder challenge than work in the professional sense. But I love it a lot more anyway, so it's worth it, right?
Well, it's certainly a special gift that God given us, and to be a parent, and I don't take it for granted. I'm sure you don't either. So, we can't thank you enough for making the time. Where can people find out more about your work, your writing, the business? Where's the right place for people to go?
So I write a little blog post every single day on MarioMcCracken.com. I'm the only Mario McCracken in the world with an E, M-A-R-E-O. And you can find me on LinkedIn too. So I'm on LinkedIn and MarioMcCracken.com.
We'll definitely link to the right place. Mario, we can't thank you, man. I just loved it. Excellent.
Hey, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And I really love what you do, John. I follow all your articles, and I'm a big supporter. So I really appreciate the knowledge and the expertise you share and help with so many people.
Thanks for joining us on another week of the show. If you like this, do me a favor and share it with a colleague or a friend, or leave a comment, review, and recommendation wherever you listen to podcasts. Anything that would help us spread the message of leadership, it would mean a great deal to me in my